This is iUniverse Radio. iUniverse Radio is brought to you by iUniverse, the leading book marketing, editorial services, and supported self-publishing company. iUniverse Radio is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
The title of the book, Brooklyn Beginnings, A Geriatrician's Odyssey, and the author is Dr. Michael Gordon, and Dr. Gordon joins us now on iUniverse Radio. Hello, Doctor.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Just want to read your introduction to begin this conversation about your book. You wrote in introducing your book to a friend in a sentence or two, you said this: "This is a memoir about an ordinary young Jewish boy from Brooklyn who, following a six-month solo foray to Europe when he was 19 years old, had his life changed dramatically. The following decades took him to different countries, had him experience military service, brought him closer to his ancestral roots, and resulted, finally, in a career and leadership role in academic, geriatric medicine, education, and medical ethics in Canada." Well, it sounds like a very, very packed full life.
Well, I hope it was packed full. I'm still around.
You're still around.
So I look forward to more of it.
Well, tell us why you wrote this book.
Well, those who know me know that I've always been a writer. I've been writing something or other, at least since high school. And certainly when I was in university, I went to Brooklyn College in Brooklyn. One of my favorite subjects was English. In fact, when I told my English 101 professor that I actually was a pre-med student, she had this sad look on her face, and she said, "I was sure you were in an English major. What a shame." And I said, "Well, you know, you can be a doctor and a writer." And she looked at me and said, "I don't think so." And I would love to find her, because I continued with my writing interests while I studied. But as I started traveling, and this was my first foray, was something in those days was not very common for a 19-year-old to go to Europe basically on his own. It certainly wasn't common. My parents were very progressive. And in my letters home, and I have them because, of course, being good parents as they were, as they are, one is still alive, saved everything I ever wrote. When I read them, I realize, in a sense, it was the beginning of my journalism and writing, because it reflected my experiences and observations. And I continued with this interest throughout my life and career. And depending on what I was doing, I translated it into different kinds of writing, some professional and some for the media, for the popular media. But the memoir was something I felt I had to do, which was somehow capture all the stories that I found interesting in my life and which helped formulate who I am.
Now, you ask a few questions here. How the discovery of the roots of my name influenced by getting a prize in medical school that resulted in my going to Israel as a medical intern, which profoundly affected the rest of my life. So tell us about that.
Well, my name is Gordon, and many people, including Jewish people, do not realize that Gordon is a Jewish name. It's not the typical Jewish name that most people associate with ending in S-K-Y or O-W-I-T-Z. The derivations of those names come from what was going on in the 17th, 18th centuries in Europe, in which ultimately you had to have an identifier as a last name rather than just the son of the father, which was the tradition, right? So if my father was Abraham, son of Abraham in Hebrew would be Ben Abraham, but when it became a Slavic name, Russian or Polish, it would become Abramovitz. So people know Abramovitz or Abramowicz. Gordon didn't fit into that mode. So when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I asked my grandfather, what was our name before? Assuming he was going to come up with Gordonowitz or something, and he said, our name has always been Gordon. And he said, my great-grandfather's name was Gordon, so as far as I know, it's always been Gordon. So although I was puzzled, I just stored it. And I ended up going to medical school in Scotland, and part of that was so I could travel. And that was the outcome of my spending 6 months in Europe and realizing that life on the other side of the Atlantic was far more interesting and exciting than going to medical school anywhere in the United States. So I made my move. It was unusual at the time. I was a good student. I could have gone anywhere in the United States, but I chose, and I ended up going to medical school in Scotland. Now, in Scotland, everybody assumed I was Scottish with a name like Gordon. And I would say, well, not really, but I didn't have an answer. And on a trip, it actually was my first trip to Israel as an exchange student, which, having studied in Britain, it was very common for Europeans to go from one country to another. I actually picked up A History of Russia, written by a Scottish history professor. And in it was a footnote describing a person whose name was Gordon and who was Jewish, where the name came from. And it actually came from a Scottish mercenary soldier, a general, General Patrick Gordon, who fought for Tsar Peter the Great. And in compensation for battles well fought and won, a number of things happened. He was given land, because those were the good old days of feudalism. He was given land on which were small villages in which Jews lived, which was very common, so-called shtetls. And he became a real favorite of the Tsar. So he actually visited Russia, what was then small Russia, which became bigger Russia. And when emancipation occurred in Russia, people had to take identifiers. Most took the name equivalent of the Slavic son of your father or daughter of your father, or the name of their trade or profession, or, as in the case of my ancestors, the name of the lord of the land, Gordon. So my ancestors took the name Gordon, that became our name. And people who know their history can usually get back to the point of knowing that the name has been around for a long time and that they came from Lithuania originally, rather than Russia. The ones who went to Russia were actually transplants, usually for family or economic reasons, went to Russia. Anyway, so I knew it was my name, and in Scotland, when people said, you must be Scottish, after I read this book, I'd say, well, sort of, and I would tell them the story. Anyway, when it came for me to sit my final exam in obstetrics and gynecology, it was not, I was a good student, I was a good medical student. But it was not my best subject. Everybody knew my interest was in internal medicine. But, you know, I knew I'd pass. I wasn't worried about passing. But in Scotland, which was pretty standard in Great Britain at the time, your final exam was a written exam and an oral called a viva for living. And that was a 10-minute exam face-to-face with usually a senior staff person. As it were, my examiner was the professor of obstetrics and gynecology, a very imposing man, large in size and large in personality and humor. Anyway, I went into the exam, and he looked at me and he said, I'm going to try to do my Scottish accent, okay? Hi, you're the Yank. Oh, you must be Scottish with a name like Gordon. I said, well, not exactly. But if you'd like to know how I got the name, I'll tell you the story. And he beamed at me and said, yes. So I looked at the clock. I was now at 9.5 minutes. Took 30 seconds for that little thing. And I wove my story, as I just told you, with the general, with the czar, with the name, with the back and forth. And meanwhile, the clock is going around. And at 1 minute to the end, he looks at his watch and says, dear me. And he looks at me, he says, give me three symptoms of eclampsia, a pretty standard obstetrical emergency, right? Of which I knew because, I mean, I was prepared for the exam. This was pretty standard question. And I looked at the clock as I, in a timely fashion, reeled off the three major symptoms. The hand crossed the hour. I was finished. And he looked at me, face beaming, and said, very good, very good. And I saw him as I left the room write down a 10. Now, to get a 10 on the oral, for me, was unbelievable. because it was not my best subject. If it were internal medicine, that would be what my class would have expected from me. Anyway, it turns out with the 10 and whatever I did on my written exam, I ended up with a prize in obstetrics and gynecology. My classmates were astounded. Anyway, the prize was worth £500, which in those days was a lot of money. And I asked them if I could use the money to go anywhere. And they said, sure. So what I did is I returned to the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology in Rambam Hospital in Haifa, where 2 years previously I had gone as a medical exchange for 1 month and fell in love with the country. But I had only been there for a month, and here was a chance to actually go and be an intern for half a year, or 5 months as it turned out, and have it all paid for, which meant from the point of view of the Israeli, you know, hospital, they didn't have to give me any money. So when I wrote to them, this is before email and stuff, a real letter, they were delighted. Sure. So that $500 prize turned my life around.
And also finding out really the meaning of your name.
Well, I kind of knew sort of the history, but the book gave me the details.
And how did that make you feel?
Well, it gave me that continuity of my historical presence. And I've used that over the years because when I meet Gordon, I ask them three questions. Are you Scottish Gordon or Jewish Gordon? You know, and everybody knows. If they say Scottish Gordon, I can have a conversation with them because I spent 6 years in Scotland. And I knew much about the Scottish Gordons and the three tartans because I've actually worn them, believe it or not, as a kilt, at least for fun and for a formal dance, which, you know, wearing a kilt is something one did. If they say Jewish Gordon, I ask them, is it a real Gordon or is it a changed Gordon? Because many people, when they came, for example, to the United States, had their name changed when they came through Ellis Island to something that the immigration officer could pronounce. And Gordon was one of those names. So many people say Gordon, but they don't know where it came from or when, and they can't trace it back. For those who know that it's always been Gordon, and they know something about the history, they can trace it back to at least Lithuania, if not to the actual villages. There were two villages where the name came from, the source. So I've used it over the years when I meet people who are Gordons, and I just was in Israel, and I met somebody in an office who, when I mentioned, the office my wife went to, and I just accompanied her, when I mentioned to the woman that my name was Gordon, she lit up and said, oh, my cousin so-and-so is a Gordon. I have to speak to him and ask where he's from. I said, well, just find out if he's from Lithuania. And she said, well, he is. I know that. I said, well, this is the story. And she's going to get back to me to see if I have another connection through her office.
Dr. Gordon, you're a great storyteller, and there's so many things that we could talk about. But in the time we have remaining, give us an overview of your book.
The essence of the book is how I got from this relatively humble beginning to end up in Canada as an academic geriatrician who was, at the end of the day, involved in the formation of geriatric medicine in this country. I didn't start off believing I was going to be a geriatrician when I was young and said, oh, you know, all my life. And the story, the Odyssey, takes me through my training in Scotland and all my experiences there, my travels through Eastern Europe and Western Europe and my experiences, some of which were either profound or humorous or poignant. I dealt with issues related to anti-Semitism, which I experienced in Poland as a visiting student, to having to learn foreign languages in order to get along, having to find work in a foreign country where I had no basis of finding work but succeeded in doing so, and then coming back to the United States at the time of the Vietnam War and making decisions about my place, and then moving to Canada, ending up marrying an Israeli woman who I had met just before the Six-Day War in Israel, hearing the story of the Six-Day War from an Arab country, and for 3 days, even though I couldn't believe it, having to believe in the possibility of the extinction of the country because that's what was being said on Arab radio and Egyptian radio, which my sister who lived there in the Peace Corps could translate for me, and which was also broadcast in English. And then this unbelievable epiphany when I realized that it didn't happen and the country was still existent, and that merely confirmed for me that that's the place I have to be. That's where my ultimate roots were. And then there was a bit of a movement around, and then I finally went from Canada to Israel with then my wife, my Israeli wife, lived in Israel for 4 years, served in the Israeli Air Force, worked in an Arab village in Ramallah, and helped start the first nursing school after the Six-Day War in the West Bank in Ramallah, and then finishing my training in Israel, being exposed to Israeli geriatrics, not that it was in my mind to be a geriatrician, but it twigged an interest that had started in Britain. And when I came to Canada, I ended up by accident falling into a position that included geriatrics. And as I started doing it, I realized this was my profession. And then working through that professional experience and becoming interested in the ethics of medicine, end-of-life care, my first marriage broke up, I married again, and now have with my second wife, two lovely children, as well as the two children from my first marriage, on good relationships with my first wife and her family. And I'm now in a position of leadership in Canada, and ultimately through that in the United States and internationally in geriatrics, and have the most wonderful career. But the main thing is I have all these stories, and I accumulate stories because I love to tell them and write about them. And I thought that for those who might be interested, when it comes to choosing a career, you actually can do many things in one's life, even when you want to be a doctor, and be creative and excited about all the aspects of it.
Well, this book is called An Odyssey because your life has been an odyssey. Very well spoken. We appreciate, Dr. Gordon, you being on iUniverse Radio. Tell us how to get your book.
Well, it's mainly through online. It's available through the various online outlets in the United States. That's Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, obviously through iUniverse. In Canada, it's through Amazon CA and through Chapters Indigo. And I know that I have people who've bought the book through all those outlets. If you actually go into a Barnes & Noble store or into a chapter store, you can order it in the store. Some stores actually are stocking it, but I understand that very few at this point. But you can order it in the store, and it'll be delivered to the store if you don't want to order it online. Nowadays, people order books online all the time, so it's readily available.
Well, thanks for being on iUniverse Radio.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Michael Gordon. He is the author of his book, Brooklyn Beginnings, A Geriatrician's Odyssey.